Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
Looking for some legal advice?
I promise you a big cash settlement.
Looking for some free legal advice?
My fee is 50%.
It's time for Ask an Attorney.
With us now in the studio, Larry the Lawyer, Larry Army. Good morning.
How you doing, guys?
How are you?
I am fantastic. We're one shy.
Yeah, well.
Very lonely over here in this neck of the studio.
Well,
smells better, though.
Don't say neck when referring to, referring to LB, because he doesn't have, we can't see one. He used to have one. No, LB is ill. He had to go to hospital, and we're going to give everybody an update on him as soon as we find out.
So, perfect. Yeah. Good stuff.
But you can text your question for Larry the Lawyer, any and all legal-related and sometimes some life-related questions. You can text them to 97107, or you can call on the Framingham Ford studio line and get your free legal advice at 617-931-1223. Here's a text, 617 text, which says, I am buying a house. Do I need title insurance and why?
Title insurance, a good question. Way to start off the show with a technical question like that. So the quick answer is, if you are going to buy a house, you are required by anybody that's a lender to purchase a title insurance policy for them. That is an insurance policy against any kind of title defects on your property. For example, if somebody had a forgery and signed somebody's name 60 years ago on a deed, and it was found out to be that that person wasn't the one that signed, you only get what somebody has in property rights. So if it was a forgery, you don't own the property. That would be an example, albeit an extreme example, but an example of when title insurance would come in. Now, if you buy it for the bank, it only goes to the bank's claim. You don't have your own claim. So a lot of people do, in fact, purchase what's called an owner's title insurance policy. If you buy that, it's good for your life that you own that property, and it covers any legal fees as it relates to any claims against your property. And if it's found out that you do have a title defect, Greg, then what they'll do is they'll pay you back, or they'll pay the person that has the defect that owns the property to get you out of that property.
At my job for 15 years, the new boss came in and is getting rid of the highest paid people. Cut my hours from 42 to 21. Do I have any options?
So that's kind of a tricky question. You may have options depending on your age and depending on the reasons that they're doing what they're doing. But I will tell you this. It sounds like your new boss has come in and realized that the people up at the top of the food chain are not producing the way that they should. So it sounds to me like they're looking at this as a good business decision. So if they're not a protected class or you're not over a certain age, you're probably, you know, they're probably within their rights.
So one should stay on the radio until they're a senior citizen in order to be protected and to be able to have some kind of a lawsuit or something. Is that right?
I'm not sure many can do that, Greg. I'm not sure many can make it 29 years in this business, but we are amongst greatness, Danielle.
Yeah, we are.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is an aggressive one from a poor woman. I will get to this one in a second.
Oh, it's going
to
be good.
Oh, this poor woman. We'll get to this in a second. Hello, Brian.
Hey, good morning, morning crew. How you doing, Larry?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, so I got a quick question. I was in a multi-car accident actually yesterday, and I know that, you know, you're responsible for everything in front of your car, but how does that work when there's a pileup of a couple of cars? I mean, I saw the car in front of me hit a car. I couldn't stop in time. I hit them, and then somebody hit me.
That's a good question.
So is the person in the end responsible? I mean, how can that be? Is the first person, you know, the second person is the first person. It should be their fault.
So, Brian, you're saying you got creamed in the rear?
Oh.
Guy.
But What?
That's orangutan.
How did we get there?
That is how they describe it. Who is responsible for that, Larry?
So you have to maintain a safe distance from the car in front of you at all times. So if you're going to rear end somebody, the rule of thumb is that you're responsible. Now, the one exception to that is, you know, in an accident like you describe, for example, if you're hit in the rear and then pushed into the car in front of you because you were hit in the rear, you're probably not responsible. But if you're going so fast that you can't stop, you're probably going to have a problem.
781 text. We recently stayed at an Airbnb and noticed that it had cameras. Is that legal, and can we sue the Airbnb owner?
Well, do we know that those cameras were on? I mean, that's the first thing that I would say. I mean, a lot of people have cameras in their house. They have to be on. They have to be recording you audio-wise, and you have to have no notice of them if they're recording you on the video-wise. So I would say, number one, if you saw the cameras, the first thing you should have probably done is walked your butt downstairs and asked the owner of the house or called him.
When you were checking into the Airbnb
You found the cameras.
Yeah.
You know, other thing they might want to do is put a little towel over them or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's options here.
I mean,
but my question is, how do they know they were on?
Are you allowed to have, if you own an Airbnb, can you have cameras as long as...
Remember this, if you're owning an Airbnb, you own a home.
Right.
Or you have a rent.
No, but
can you
have them on when the people are staying there?
I would imagine that unless you give them notice, that's probably a no-no.
That's probably...
I would say that's an invasion of privacy.
Airbnb's policy strictly prohibits cameras that are not disclosed within the property listing. So you have to disclose them.
Sounds like they had a good lawyer, Daniel.
Yeah, it does.
That's exactly what I said. I feel good about myself right now.
That's your policy, not my policy.
What's your policy, Greg? Let me see if your policy is legal.
I would not be, I don't want people to be sleeping in my home if I'm not there.
I thought you were going to say don't want people recording you.
I am not interested in that scenario. Hello, Eric.
Hi.
What's
good
up?
Good morning,
Eric?
Guys.
What's up,
buddy?
Eric?
I actually wanted to thank Mr. Larry there.
Yes.
You helped me immensely.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. You just made my day.
Yeah. I went to the sheriff's department, all that stuff, and she's getting served this week, so I can finally see my kids.
Oh,
good for you.
I just want to thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Were you a client, or you just got your free legal advice? You got your free legal advice here?
Yes, I got my free legal advice.
Oh, all right. That's great.
Hey, that just proves this advice is so good, you don't even need a lawyer when you're done.
I just don't have the money or the means for a lawyer, you know? Mm-hmm. And what you did was
good. All right, great. Thank you. This is Ann on the Framingham Ford Studio line during Ask an Attorney. What's up, Ann?
Good morning, crew. Hi, Larry.
What's happening?
Hi, Ann. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Awesome.
So I have a question about mileage being paid for by your employer.
Yes.
So my employer, is it a law in Massachusetts? My employer pays $200 a month for an expense, car expense, but I've driven like 100,000 miles in the last 2 years.
Huh. So it's not even... The law is that you're supposed to be reimbursed for up to, I believe it's 52 or 54 cents per mile. I don't have LB, my legal assistant, here, so I'm going to have to shoot to my paralegal, Danielle, who's...
Yeah.
54.5 cents a mile for 2018.
There you have it. Now, when you're getting a car allowance, that's typically for the use of your car, not necessarily for the fuel in your car. So the law in Massachusetts is fairly clear that they do have to pay you, not coming and going to work, but while you're at work and when you're doing the work, they have to pay you the mileage.
Mm-hmm.
So if they give you a gas card... but won't pay for, I mean, it's an excessive amount of mileage.
Well, think about this. I mean, the gas is only a part of what you're paying. You also have the insurance that you need to have on that car. You have the maintenance, the brakes, the tires, all those things that go into using a car as much as you're using it. So it's
not
just
nuts.
The gas.
You got to get the truck nuts, the fuzzy dice.
The fast lane.
Yeah. All right.
Little
so
hula girl.
She should go to the bosses and say, hey.
This isn't really fair. Let's renegotiate.
Okay. All right.
Do that before you sue.
Is a used car salesman required to give the past car owner's information to a buyer? A texter would like to know.
It sounds like that texter might be a used car salesman.
No, I think they're buying
one. Or maybe they bought from a used car.
And they want to,
I think that the best thing to do today is to get your Carfax.
Yeah.
I don't want to give them any free advertising here.
Yeah.
On this station. But, I mean, to me, that's the best thing to do. If there's a known defect, if they know there's a known defect, they must disclose that. But as far as the prior owner, just look at your title when you sign it. Their name will be on it.
781 text. We just moved to Florida, and now that we have unpacked everything from the movers, there are some things missing. Do we have to file for this in Massachusetts, or can we do it from Florida?
So the contract that you had with the mover, a lot of these interstate movers have a choice of law venue statute in there, or clause in there, excuse me, that basically says, hey, you can't sue us till you do arbitration, or if you're going to sue us, it's the Massachusetts Federal District Court that you have to go to. Having said that, I will tell you that, you know, file your claim. Chances are you'll get something back. A lot of these trucking companies have insurance policies of their own.
Here's a good one for Halloween time. When you buy a house, do they have to disclose if someone has died in it?
This comes up more than you think.
Really?
Yeah, this actually does come up a lot more than you think.
Well, probably because people get creeped out if they find out that somebody has died.
Well, it's
in
like
the house,
that house on the corner that somebody was murdered in and it's never been resided in since. No, again, somebody died in a house. Somebody has died in just about every house I imagine around here that's more than 100 years old. But no, you don't have to disclose that.
So they didn't have to tell this person.
You can tell if it's haunted.
Yeah.
So how's that?
Let's see. 508 text. Can a landlord let people who are not on a lease into an apartment without letting the tenants know? For example, the exterminator walked through our apartment and we found the toilet seat up. We are two female nurses living in an apartment and sometimes asleep when this happens. It's creepy. What can we do?
Yeah, that is creepy.
Well, they're probably nurses who work the overnight shift.
Yeah, but still, that's bananas.
If LB were here, he would say, if he weren't ill, he would say LB@WAAF.com, ladies. Yeah. But they work the overnight shift, and then the landlord lets people in to do work during the day.
Typically, they're required to give 24 hours notice for these types of things. I would imagine that you have a lease. If you do, look in your lease, and it will talk about that. It's not cool for somebody to just start walking through your apartment when you're asleep and you have no notice.
Yeah. No.
And it's certainly not cool for them to not put the seat down, Greg.
Well, Danielle knows that. That's a big issue.
Yeah.
The seat fell in the bowl last week.
Whatever. Yeah. They can put it down themselves. Right. Well, they're capable.
How about when they're done going?
Right.
They put it up.
Yeah. For us.
Yeah, and then when you guys go to poop in the middle of the night.
How about that?
Splash.
Hello, Christina.
Hi.
What's up, Christina?
I am calling for a friend.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So back in 2003, my girlfriend and her then husband filed with the mortgage company something to help them lower their mortgage because they couldn't afford it.
Modification.
They got denied. Yeah. Yes, they got denied. Last month, she received a check from the mortgage company with a letter stating they made a grave mistake. They sent a check to them for $14,000 and telling her that if she wants to go further with any action to contact their free attorney or her attorney. Is this something you think she should do? They lost their house because of it. Their son was, they pretty much got divorced because of financial reasons and all this stuff.
So they got disclosed, they got foreclosed on because they couldn't pay?
Yes.
Well, that is why you get foreclosed on, Greg. I mean,
and then they later on sent them a check and said that they had made a mistake?
Yes.
Okay. So should she sue, is what she's asking.
So if what you're saying is factually correct, and I have no reason to disbelieve you.
Yeah.
Then if there was a foreclosure and they were current on their mortgage when the foreclosure occurred, is that what you're saying?
They weren't current because they couldn't afford to pay. But they were denied that, you know, they were saying they were making enough money. And then now today, you know, 10 years later, however much it is.
Yeah. Would you say?
I mean, look, if you can't afford to pay your mortgage, then your house is going to get foreclosed on. You do have options. One of those options is a loan modification. Those are complicated. They take a lot of time. They're not always guaranteed, which is what it sounds like here. So you got to look at those papers and see if they were denied that mod or not. I have no idea. I've never heard ever of a bank sending a $14,000 check because they made a mistake and wrongfully foreclosed on somebody's house.
Is a restaurant with sit-down tables and takeout service allowed to deny somebody who is taking food out the use of the bathroom? This texter wants to know.
Oh, yeah, excellent question.
You know, I mean, most restaurants are required by law to have a bathroom. So if it's a takeout place and there's chairs there to eat, I would imagine that you have to be given a bathroom to use.
Okay.
And
might be one
law?
Of those employee-only bathrooms because people leave the seat up, Danielle.
Maybe.
Is that a law that
but
if you
have...
But if
you're not sitting down, you're getting takeout, they won't let you use the bathroom. That's ridiculous.
Pee on the floor. That's my legal advice. Pee on the floor.
Yes.
That's not legal advice, people.
All right, here's this text, a 617 text from a woman.
Is this the one you were all excited about?
Yeah. Should I use the word that she uses? I mean, we used it earlier. I think it's okay. Can I sue the slut who has been sleeping with my husband while working for him the last 3 years at his auto dealership?
Oh, no.
So, ma'am, I'm not sure if you could sue her for that, but I'd like to try. Why don't you call me? This sounds like some fun.
Can you sue for like loss of consortium?
Yeah, loss of consortium. But loss of consortium is really loss of the. That's really
the
not
family.
What this is.
Yeah,
this
right.
is just your husband's a cheater and.
Right.
Sue him for adultery. You know,
file
sue,
a divorce.
Him. Sue him, not
and her.
Her.
No,
you
both.
Can't
both.
Oh, see, this is the great thing, people. When you do find out that your spouse is cheating and you find out the name of that person, you actually have the ability in Massachusetts to sue for grounds on a divorce. One of those grounds is adultery. Hmm. Now, here's the cool thing about that, if there is such a thing, right? I don't
here's
even know
the
how
cool
that
thing.
Came out, but you all know what I mean, right? So you actually have to list on the complaint, so it would be Mr. Hill versus Mrs. Hill and my paramour.
Right.
So the name,
you have to list the name,
and you actually sue the cheating party in your divorce complaint.
Yeah.
So she can sue this woman.
Yeah.
Along with the husband. And would the woman have to pay damages?
I don't think so. I mean, but you definitely, you know, you might get a little extra kicker in the divorce court.
So in the example you just mentioned, Mr. Hill versus Mrs. Hill, is Netflix named as the mistress party?
Well, you notice I didn't use first names.
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot of Hills, just as there's a lot of Underwoods.
Right. It's, okay. Net,
yes.
It's Netflix. Yeah. Mr. Flix.
Flix, common net.
Mrs. Flix. All right, let's see here. My husband was fired from the MBTA. I was supposed to get part of his pension. Is he still going to get a pension? And if so, when would I get it? Oh, ex-husband, sorry.
Sounds like a divorce situation.
My ex-husband was fired from the T. I was supposed to get a part of his pension. Is he still going to get it? And if so, when would I get it?
So if he's vested, which I assume if you got a part of his pension in a divorce, he was vested in his pension. Typically, that's 10 years of employment. You will get a percentage of that if you quadroed it out of his estate when it's due, which is typically retirement age. So typically 66.
This is Shane on Ask an Attorney. What's up, Shane?
So here's my question. I'm getting evicted on the 18th, right? So I come home, I get a letter, and I have to submit my answer. My question is, when I first moved in, the landlord said I only accept cash, and I get paid every week, $400 a week. I agreed to this like an idiot. I fall behind, and I start making up payments, right?
Yeah.
So last month, I paid him $2,800. I come home, and he starts banging on my door disrespectfully and drunk. And he does this every Friday. So enough is enough. I've had it with this guy. I go, you know what? To hell with you. I seen a mouse. I'm tired of this. This place is a dump. So he files for an eviction. My question is, I'm going to go file the answer. Am I allowed to file for discoveries? And I can postpone that by 2 weeks so that he can show all his paperwork? Because I've paid way over. He told me that I had to pay for the constable to come, for him to file his fees, and for his attorney fees. He's trying to, and I don't think I need to pay for all those, which I did pay for those. I don't feel like I owe him all this money, but is there a way for me to postpone this by asking for a discovery?
You could ask for discovery. You have the right to do that. I mean, you should go down to the clerk's office for the housing court. There's typically a lot of forms that they can give you for this kind of stuff. But I will tell you this. I hope you got receipts for your cash payments. Because people that pay cash that don't get receipts are fools.
Really?
Yeah.
Any
kind of cash payment.
Okay, because then somebody can come back and say you didn't pay.
Greg, once a week I have somebody come in my office and tells me that they paid somebody with cash and now they're getting sued for not paying.
Huh.
Yeah.
So make sure
just
you
be
get
smart.
A receipt.
People, be smart.
And is a receipt okay on a napkin or something like that, or does
you
it?
No, there's an. You can sell a piece of land on a napkin. Right?
Yes, you can. Well, you can do a lot of deals on napkins.
I've done a lot of big deals on napkins.
They are the best. Those are the with my meeting shoes on. Those are the best way to do deals.
Are those paper or are those cloth napkins?
They are stained. I do know that with sauce. They are sauce stained napkins. Yes. all right. Larry the lawyer is here. It is Ask an Attorney, and you got another 15 minutes. You're in a suit, so are you going to court today? Or are you?
No, today we're heading to the jail. House of Correction Day.
HOC, baby.
What do you do? Go visit your clients?
I have a client that I'm going to see today.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Yes. Rather famous client.
Oh, really?
Yes, in the underground kind of way.
Oh. you can't tell us more. That's
I can tell you that he might have been associated with a former New England Patriot.
Oh, you're still representing that guy?
Oh, that guy still.
I am still representing that young man.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Excellent.
Yes.
And soon the rest of you will know the truth.
Really?
Yes.
What is
I'm not telling you the truth. You have to pay for the truth, Greg.
What are you, Michael Avenatti over here?
I'm just trying to set the record straight from that other lawyer.
Okay. Jose Baez?
Oh. Yeah, that one.
Oh, man. Is he your archenemy?
I don't have an archenemy.
In legal circles, is Jose Baez?
But I do have the fourth letter, Greg.
You do have? You still
have
the fourth letter?
I do have the fourth letter, yes.
Oh, my Lord. Wow. Yes. Many may not know that Larry the lawyer is not well known for doing this show, obviously, but he did represent the man who pretended to be the in jail lover of Aaron Hernandez.
That is correct. Yes. Right. The alleged.
Hey, real quick, because I want to get to the $1,000 holler, and we are going to continue. What do you think of these towns that are going to make trick or treating illegal for those who are over 12 years old?
I nearly skinned my 16-year-old daughter last year for telling me she was going to go trick-or-treating.
Really? Because you thought she was...
Why?
Because she's 16 going on 25, and she's going to go out and trick-or-treat.
Well, what else is she
going
to be doing?
Listen, she put on a Patriots jersey and mascara under her eyes.
Yeah.
So?
And grabbed my pillowcase and ran out the door.
Okay.
That's you can't trick-or-treat when you're 16.
Yes, you can.
All right. If you look like you're 12.
Yeah.
No.
You don't think it's creepy when you got the 2-year-old and the 6-year-old all in their little prince and princess costumes, and here comes a bunch of 16-year-olds.
If they're wearing costumes.
With mascara under their eyes.
Look, she put in the work.
That is not putting in the work.
No, that's fine. It's the ones that show up with nothing, with no costume, and a backpack strapped to their
chest. I think 16 and over, hand out the candy.
Okay.
How's that?
All right. There's a couple towns that are making it illegal.
Well, that is kind of silly. That's a parent issue.
That's a parenting
issue. I think that's a parent issue. And if more parents issued orders from the home, we wouldn't need stupid towns to do stupid things like this.
Fourth and final hour upon us. Still no medical update on LB. We'll get it to you if we hear anything. And LB was, of course, he took ill during the show on Monday and left and was out yesterday and... did his best to come in this morning and then had to head out. So we'll try to get you an update on that. Today's weather brought to you by Spot Hero. It is going to be sunny and the temperature is going to be in the low 80s today. So it is going to be a beautiful, beautiful day in October. Here's a way, finally, that you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code WHEEL for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. Tomorrow on the show, Stowe 5-0 at 7:30. Quick look at some of the heinous crimes that have either been called in or walked into my lifelong hometown police department, the Stowe PD. 7:50, we'll go inside the warped female brain. And at 8:30 tomorrow, actor John C. Reilly will be on the show from Boogie Nights and from Talladega Nights. Mm-hmm. And a lot of great films. Yeah. A lot of great films. So John C. Reilly on this show tomorrow at 8:30. Right now, though, it is Ask an Attorney with Larry the Lawyer, Larry Army Jr. And, of course, Larry is here acting not in an official capacity as your attorney, but just offering his advice. There is the disclaimer. Here's a 978 text. Larry, are you hiring for an outstanding paralegal?
We may hire. We always hire outstanding people.
Okay.
So send your resume at armyandroach.com. We'll take a look at it.
Armyandroach.com.
Yes.
All right. This is an amazing one.
Oh, boy. You haven't said that in a year.
Well, no, I said it last week with the D-picks.
But that was, I don't think amazing was the word you
used.
Well,
yeah. This is a 617 text. My soon-to-be ex-friend is threatening to sue me because they invited me to their birthday dinner at a restaurant, which I assumed they were covering, and I refused to pay at the end. I be sued for this?
Come on. Pay up for the... sack up and then don't go back out with these
people. Well, wait a second. Is there an assumption of responsibility when it comes to inviting somebody to a birthday?
There's just so much in that text that we could start with. Why don't we start with my soon-to-be ex-friend? How this person hasn't thrown you to the curb already is beyond me. So let's start with that, number one. Number two, you are incredibly cheap. Okay,
frugal.
When you go to a friend's birthday party, you pay for your friend's birthday dinner, you
exactly.
fool. Anybody that goes to a birthday party with 30 people thinking that the birthday boy or girl is going to
pay
for
for
that
everything?
Is insanely moronic. That's your legal advice, Greg.
I mean, is there any kind of assumption that if somebody invites you to something at a restaurant or a place, they are paying for you?
There is the assumption and you're fooled, don't threaten to sue them. Just pay for your friggin' riblets
and go.
But
think about this. You're sitting there. They're saying, okay, there's 10 people.
They're threatening to sue them. The birthday person is threatening to sue them.
Because they didn't pay?
Yeah,
because that's what I'm saying. This person's refusing to pay. Throw the $60 up and go. I can't.
But what do you think?
What is
this? When you go to a meal like that and you're like, okay, I'm not paying. So it's going to be king crab legs for appetizers, filet for, like, is that what you do? And then you just walk out or? I don't know.
All right. We get a lot of great questions during this segment.
Yeah. None of that has anything to do with any kind of law whatsoever, which is fantastic.
Well, let's bring it home. You want to bring it home? You stole food. You should be charged criminally for a misdemeanor.
How's that?
Let's bring it home. Call us. We'll help you. We'll represent you at your criminal arraignment.
This is Dan on the Framingham Ford studio line. Framingham Ford is Metro West Commercial Truck Headquarters. And, Dan, you're on Ask an Attorney with Larry the Lawyer.
What's up, Dan?
Hi, good morning. Good morning, and thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
I guess it's sort of a two-part question. My ex-wife and I divorced. It was 5 years ago in July that it became final. We did the joint petition. At the time, she and I both signed off on no alimony, past, present, or future. The judge refused to accept that and modified it. So I guess my question is, she can obviously still come after me for alimony. What are the odds that she will get it, and how long does she have to come up to try to get it?
Okay. There's so many parts to this question. I'm going to give you a general overview on this one. So, how many years were you married? That's the only thing I'll ask for a follow-up.
Well, unfortunately, 20.
Ooh, 20 or over 20?
20. It was after the 20th year when the divorce became final.
All right, so if she goes to get alimony, if she has a need, she can show under the statute, and I think there's about 17 different factors that she needs to show to the judge in terms of being eligible for alimony, and there's a big discrepancy in your incomes, then, yeah, you could potentially be on the other side of a lifetime alimony award. Everybody out there, if a judge refuses to accept part of your agreement and it's something that you and your spouse have negotiated and want in that agreement, step back, get another date, tell the judge you want to talk to a lawyer, buy yourself some time. You know, something like that is pretty standard, to be honest with you.
If you've agreed to it with the other party, the judge should accept it.
Yeah. I mean, okay. We do future waivers a lot, so it's not like it's out of the ordinary.
Back to the dinner quick. Here's a texter who says etiquette requires that if you invite someone to a party, the host should pay.
No, that's ridiculous.
No, I don't think so at all.
No,
I agree.
If you invite someone to a party that you're having where you're providing food, that's one thing. If you're inviting someone to a gathering, I don't feel there's an expectation that they're going to cover the dinner.
I mean, are there people who simply invite others to their birthday party so they don't have to pay for it themselves?
Yeah. Why do you think people do like destination weddings?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right.
You know what's crazy is that there are evidently people out there that agree with that texter.
I guess so. Yeah. Well, no, there
are. Sit on your hands.
There are a lot of, like, this person says, if you have a birthday party at your house, do you expect everybody to throw in money toward the food?
No, but that's different. That's different.
That is different.
You're hosting people at your home.
Yeah.
This is a gathering in a restaurant. Right. That's like, these are like the people that go out and they're like, I had a salad and a water.
What if it's
a separate
Danielle,
check?
What if it's potluck? Potluck party, and you don't bring your dish.
Well, then you're an a-hole.
Yeah.
But you get to eat.
I mean, you do, but it's rude. You shouldn't. I agree.
You can stay, but you
sit
can't
in the
eat
corner.
Anything.
Is that the way it goes?
Right.
Nothing
exactly.
for you.
Yeah.
I bring Greg's Easy Krabbies. Mm. Very easy, very delicious. Hello,
very
Tim.
Crabby.
Hi, Tim. Hey, Tim. All right. I don't know what happened to Tim. I'm going to tell Tim to call back. And let's see what Chris has to ask for Ask an Attorney. Hey, Chris.
Hey, man.
What's up?
Thanks for asking my question. So my friend that I'm letting stay at my house, we both rent the house from a guy at work that retired. And he has this ex-girlfriend that's caused him nothing but problems. The whole reason he even moved into my house is because of her. Recently, he tried to be noble and get her sober and whatnot. And she was going to move into our landlord's house. And I think our landlord saw the writing on the wall. And all of a sudden on Monday was like, ah, screw this. I can't let her come here for some crazy reason. To me, it looks like if she gets in there and goes back to her old ways, I'm not going to be able to get her out of my house. So is there, me and my buddy don't have a lease either because we know the guy that we rent the house from. Is there a legal paperwork that I can have her sign that in essence says, you are not a resident at this place, you're just visiting, so if you screw up and start going back to drinking and drugs, you're gone? Because I don't think you can just kick people out in Massachusetts, right?
No.
No, but here's what you do. You tell your buddy that if he wants this girl to move in, she can take your spot or he can leave. I mean, I wouldn't let her in, period.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your property. You and he have it. Talk to your landlord, but, I mean, that's a recipe for disaster, and your friend is not dealing with a full deck either.
Hmm.
You break up with her, you don't bring them back, especially when they're drinking.
Mm-hmm. I am married, 617 text, I am married and getting a divorce. She owns a $1 million condo with her name on it that she had before we got married. Am I entitled to half of that?
Well, it depends how long you're married. It depends if your income went towards the mortgage and the upkeep and, you know, if you did any painting or decorating. There's a list of things. Also depends, you know, if she bought it 2 days before your wedding, probably a marital asset. She had it for 10 years before your wedding and you got married and divorced within 6 months, she's keeping it. This is one of those common sense things, Greg, you know, just kind of.
What's that?
I know, exactly. It's the title of our new book that Greg and I are working on.
I like it.
Yes, me too.
Common sense.
Uncommon sense.
No, but what is common sense? You said this is one of those common sense things.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, this is one of those common sense things where you just got to ask yourself that question, you know? I mean, should I get $1 million from this woman I was married to for 6 months? Probably not.
Yeah.
If she had it for a long time before. But if it was something that was acquired a week or two or a month before a 10 or 20-year marriage, you're entitled.
Okay. This is Jack. What's up, Jack?
Hey, Larry. How are you?
I'm awesome. That was Greg, though.
I know how he is. I listen to him every day.
All right, just making sure. I don't want him mad at me.
No worries. Larry, my son got bed bugs in his apartment from the apartment upstairs. I paid to exterminate, but they had to bag all their stuff, more or less move out for a couple of days, and now they're back. Does he have any legal recourse?
Where is this, Jack? Where was this?
Shrewsbury Street, Worcester.
Okay. Any recourse on that?
On bed bugs?
Yeah.
I mean, look, the only recourse, I assume when they moved out for a couple of days, the landlord put them up somewhere?
Nope. And he put himself up.
Well, I mean, that's not cool. I mean, you have the right to quiet enjoyment, and bed bugs prevent you from quietly enjoying your premises.
So does
not
television.
Not to mention it's a health.
I'm interrupted when I'm trying to have quiet enjoyment, and Alex Cora puts Craig Kimbrell in the game to close it. And he starts hitting guys. My quiet enjoyment is ruined when that happens.
Yeah, but only to give you an extra loaded bit of excitement.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, so you have a right to quiet enjoyment, meaning that
I would tell you this too. Call the Board of Health. But bed bugs are nasty, and they're really hard to get rid of.
This is Tim. Hello, Tim.
Hey, I don't know what happened. I got disconnected. Oh, How are you guys doing?
Not Tim. Hey, what's going on, Tim?
Hey, so I got a question, Larry.
Yes.
I bought a house with my wife maybe a few months ago now, June, July time period. There was no paperwork saying that it was on wetland. I mean, you could kind of tell by looking at it just how it was undeveloped. And this rain, all the rain we had, the water has filled up my backyard really bad. Is there any recourse? I mean, we're talking 2 feet of water here. And there's a couple other things that were not mentioned as well, but that's really the big one. And in order to have the problem fixed, I got to hire an engineer and go through. It's going to be like a $50,000 repair.
Oh, hmm.
And that's kind of sucks. Sorry to hear that. Did you get a home inspection?
I did, yes. But the home inspection, the scope of the inspection didn't include the yard.
The only other thing then, if it was a known defect, you know, in other words, they knew it was a defect and it needed to be repaired and they sold it with that knowledge, then you got to prove that, but you could potentially go after them for that.
Mm-hmm.
If the basement's not flooding, you know, you're probably not going to be as successful as you might be if this affected the actual interior of the house. You know, the only other thing I would say is you wait for a couple good weeks of dry weather and sell it to somebody else.
Oh, man. You are.
What?
Come on. You know I'm teasing. I'm kidding.
You're a lawyer. I would really do that.
Oh, here's crazier than Danielle.
Oh.
978 text. I keyed my boyfriend's soon-to-be ex-wife's car.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
She pressed charges and then decided to give me a deal of paying her $1,000. I've already sent her $500, and there is a paper trail. Do you think that they will put out a warrant for my arrest over this?
So hopefully you have some kind of a release or some kind of a settlement agreement with her.
I'm guessing no.
Probably not, because why would you do that?
No,
if you're somebody that's going to be so passionately in love with your man that you're going to key somebody else's car, why would you do that, right? You know, Greg,
don't key somebody's car.
It's
I know it's
simple.
Frustrating. I know it upsets mm-hmm. you, but don't.
But you
don't
know what's crazy?
Things. Don't do illegal things. No,
but here's the nutty thing. She was getting the guy.
Right. I know.
Mm-hmm. Like, why would you do that? You won.
She sucks.
Yeah.
Larry, what if she had that woman sign a release before she keyed the car, saying, "I'm going to key your car at this particular date"?
Well, how about this? How about if she says, "Hey, I'll give you $500 if you don't key my car"? Knowing that it was going to happen in the future. Very Star Trek-ian.
Yeah.
All right. This is Ask an Attorney. And Larry the Lawyer is here for just another few minutes. So you can text or you can call if you have done damage to the personal property
of another.
Of somebody who used to be with somebody that you love.
Who's no longer.
I mean, that these you get to see this because you end up doing a lot of divorces. But... People get nasty.
And you know what? It's really not necessary.
Yeah.
It doesn't help you. It only helps us.
Yeah.
And when I say us, I mean the attorneys of the state.
Let's see. This is Anthony. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Not much. I have a question for Larry.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so... I've been married to my wife for 11 years. We've been living together for 19 years actually. And I don't want a divorce, and she does. And we were gonna do counseling and then do a mediator if the counseling didn't work. Now I find she's looking for attorneys because she says that I'm not gonna get nothing from the house. Hmm. When I didn't even want the house, all I wanted to do was when she did eventually sell it, we would split it. But she's saying, I have no right to any of the house.
Okay.
You better hope she didn't call me first. You have rights to the house. I'm just teasing you.
Okay.
First of all, I'm sorry that you're getting a divorce. It sounds like you're a little distraught over that, and that kind of sucks. But as far as the property, she's not in charge. I can promise you that.
Right.
Going to be a man or a woman sitting up on a chair with a black robe. They're the ones that are going to make the decisions, not her.
Right.
I will tell you this. If she's going out and getting an attorney, you should probably find one yourself. You don't want to be behind the eight ball on this thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
well,
any marital assets are going to be a part of the...
like 4 years ago and then forgot about them.
By the way, you have another issue that I'm not sure you know about.
Yeah.
Under the new alimony reform statute, we tack on any time that you're cohabitating before a marriage. So for purposes of durational alimony, this guy, this poor guy, could actually have a 19-year marriage in terms of the statute versus the actual 11 that he was married.
Wait a second.
Yes.
In Massachusetts, they're tacking on time that you lived together that you weren't married?
Yeah, doesn't that suck?
What is wrong with this state?
Yeah, what?
How long do you have?
I mean, you know what's next. Common law marriage. Right around the corner.
Yeah. All right. Well, good stuff this week, Larry. I'm Carrie Underwood for what that woman did.
You know what
the
I was
ex-wife.
Just thinking?
Yes.
I was just thinking, man, that sounds sexy when she says it. Didn't sound so sexy when you read it, though.
No.
All right. Real quick, we got one more, and then I know you got to go. Hey, Larry.
Yes.
You're on with Larry the Lawyer. Ask an Attorney. What's up?
Hey, Larry. How you doing?
Fantastic, buddy. How about you?
Not too good. I bought my truck two and a half years ago. Shortly after buying it, I had some problems with it where I was losing power and the check engine light came on. Brought it back to the dealer. They said it needed an oil change.
Yeah.
4 months later, happens again. They tell me I need an oil change.
Okay.
I asked to speak with the manager. They then referred me over to a Ford dealership where I bought it. And they told me at the time I needed the top half of the engine rebuilt. So it was covered under warranty. That was done about a year ago.
Yeah.
Now it's a little shy of a year since that work has been done. And now they tell me I've had the same problems, and they tell me I need a new engine. Is that something that we'd be covered under one more?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that you should be able to get covered under one more. I mean, if they denied you?
I would tell you this.
So, I mean, if they've denied you, you should probably call somebody. It sounds like
under the lemon law, though?
Well, I mean,
it's like a poor workmanship or something.
Yeah, but I don't know if this was a new car, if it was a used car.
Okay, yeah.
So if it was a new car, it could be a 30 or a 3-year 30 or a 4-year 40,000 mile warranty. If it's a used car, depending on the amount of mileage, it could be as low as zero. It could be as high as, let's say, 90 days, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you do work in the warranty period and that work down the road is defective, sounds like this might be, you might be able to go back and get them to repair the whole thing.
Even though you're past the mileage on the warranty.
Yeah, the one thing that concerns me is it's been a year from the time they rebuilt to now. So
yeah.
I don't know how you're going to show that what they did there was the cause of what happened a year later.
All right, Larry, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.